Well, good morning, everyone, and an early Happy New Year to y'all. Excited to kind of wipe the dry erase board in our minds and hearts and kind of get a white, clean slate and start all over again, you know, hopefully with some new insights and new guidance and new direction as we trust God as we press forward. We prayed that way. I'm thinking about that. As I'm thinking about that, I thought we'd spend some time on a specific thought today. From time to time throughout any year, we do maybe a special message regarding, you know, a new year, or we had the holiday season or whatever it might be. And I think this is applicable wherever we're at in our walk with the Lord. I think this is something that would be profitable for us to contemplate and think through. You know, God's got a will. God's got a desire for all of our lives. God's got a purpose and a plan for every one of us. No matter where we are, no matter how old or how young we are, no matter what our station is in life, God wants to move in and through our lives. We also have, that's the positive. The negative is we also have an enemy that wants to cause or run interference or cause conflict or cause us to be, you know, sidetracked from what God's intent and purpose is. That's just a simple fact for all of Christendom, all of humanity. There's God's intent and purpose, and then there's an enemy who's going to war against that. So we want to talk about those kind of two things a little bit today and what that might look like. When you read, and we'll turn to some of these in just a moment and look through them more in depth, and I'll cite those as we go. But in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." And, you know, as we kind of talked through the holiday season, we kind of talked about making room for Jesus, that his peace, that we got to have that. It's an import, you know, that you got to import that into your life. That's not, you got to download it, basically. You got to let God put that into your life. And we talk about that, and that's important, and that's something we want and need in our lives. We need that kind of his presence in that sense. It provides joy in the presence of the Lord is the fullness, the Bible says, of joy. But this idea of anxious for nothing, when you look at that word anxious, and we talk about this from time to time, but it's important to note, when you look at that word anxious, the word means distracting cares. So the word anxious, when you look at it, and you look it up and you study it out, what it means in its original language is distracting cares. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't allow distracting cares to set in. Nothing. Let nothing come in that distracts us from what? Well, I'll tell you a couple of things that it says not to distract us from. These are just a couple of generic, for all of us, God's will. In verse 3 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." What is sanctification? Simply stated, being set apart for God's purpose. In other words, I belong to God. So I'm not my own. When you gave your life, when I gave my life, when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we gave what was damaged by sin and the destruction and the death sentence on all of us, right? That was now, we've signed that over and said, no, I want to give my life to Jesus, because Jesus wants to give me life. It's that simple. I'm giving my life to Jesus because Jesus wants to give me life. My life is on a bad course otherwise, you know, because we're born into sin. We've talked about these things. But for this is the will of God, your sanctification, being set apart to God. Then he goes on, that was chapter 4, verse 3. Then he goes on into chapter 5, and he makes another statement in verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." So he says, rejoice always, not just sometimes, but always. Pray without ceasing, just be in that thought process that we're connected with God, we're seeking God, we're talking with God. "And in everything give thanks from a thankful heart." And what does it say? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I find rejoice always is a struggle. I find pray without ceasing is a struggle. And I find that this last one of in everything having a thankful heart or giving thanks, I find all three of those to be difficult for me on a constant, if I took a baseline and said, yeah, I want that to be my constant, I would say, I struggle with that. But yet that's the will of God. That would be God. And that's generic for not just me, but for all of us, anyone who would name the name of Christian or being a follower of Jesus. The reason I'm kind of laying this foundation of thought is because there are many things, as we talked about, that anxious, distracting cares, these things that would distract us from that. It robs us of the things that the Spirit's wanting to do. Boy, I'll tell you, and if you've ever been ripped off for something, you know, if anybody's ever shattered your window in your car and stolen something out of your car, that's happened to some of us. Some of us have even had cars taken. Some of us have been, you know, some of us have been the ones that broke the windows. Some of the ones that drove off in the cars. I don't know. We got a mixed group here. But the bottom line is we're not doing that anymore, right? No, we're not doing that anymore. But you get what I'm saying is that there, when we're violated like that, when somebody's taken something from us, man, nobody likes that. But the enemy is daily trying to do that to every one of us. And so what's in my heart and mind, what God spoke to my heart about this new year, as we step forward into this new year, I'm thinking maybe the Lord would have us and help us to limit distractions. How do we limit or even in some areas eradicate distractions? Get rid of those things that would distract us. Well, first of all, I have to understand that there are things that are that distract me. And they distract me from the will of God. The sanctification, being set apart to Him. I get sometimes distracted from that because I get focused on the things I want to do or the things I think I need to do. Or I just get focused on my end of things. And I get missing what it is that God's wanting to do, that I belong to Him. So when we get up in the morning, note thought one, number one, would you maybe ask the Lord, what would you want today from me? What would you like to do today? What do you want to do? Because I wake up and a lot of times I'm thinking about what I need to do, you know, what I got to take care of, you know. Maybe you got a punch list going. A lot of us have punch lists, you know, and you, I gotta take care of those, I gotta take care of this. But the way I take care of those things is I prioritize them, right? I got this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. And that's normal, that's healthy, that's right. But where's God in that? What about your spiritual punch list? Do you have one? I'm gonna make a suggestion. I'm gonna make it two or three times because I believe repetition helps us. I'm gonna mention it two or three times today, so don't think like, gosh, I saw on this broken record about this. Look, there are 31 Proverbs. In January, there's 31 days. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure that that's right. Yeah. I'm looking at my mental calendar. I think there's 31 in January. But, okay, so you can read one proverb a day. And at the end of January, you will have finished all of the Proverbs. Now I'm going to take it one step further. Somebody's always got to push it. Take it to the limit just one more time, right? Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's got to push it just a little bit further. I just have to. Would you do that? And then would you think about, would you pray about, and maybe would you do this too? In January alone, if we did this, we could cover all of the Proverbs in our time with the Lord, in our quiet time. And you know what? If you read three Psalms, I have to check. My grandson says three. But three, if you read three Psalms, five Psalms every day, because there's 150, right? So if you read all of the one proverb, five Psalms, and a lot of them are fairly short. Some are a little bit longer. It won't take that long. At the end of January, now when you get to the 119th Psalm, I understand. I'll give you one day on that. And then because January's got 31 days, you can use your other four on another day. Okay, how's that sound? Okay, so when you get to 119th, that's a one-dayer. Okay, we'll credit ourselves that. Okay, at the end, think about this. At the end of January alone in the new year, we will have read in our devotional time, and it will be in our minds, on our hearts, in our thoughts, we will have read all of the Psalms and all of the Proverbs. That'd be a great thing for us to do. I think you'd benefit. The Proverbs provide all this wisdom. It's poetic wisdom and insight, guidance and direction for your life and my life. The Psalms teach us about worship and praise and adoration. And I'm going to take it, let's just push a little bit further. One more thought on this is that would you, when you're reading the Psalms, when it says, let's praise out loud, when it says, you know, laud the Lord, that's a praise to the Lord. Or when it says, lift your hands, you know, lift your hands. Just do it. Just do that. Read it and do it. You'll find some, and maybe even if you can find a spot where you can read out loud, read out loud. You'll just find some, if you read out loud, I find it's less distracting. I'm not as easily distracted. Many of you do not struggle like some of the rest of us do. Some of us have a tendency to be like the balloon and just helium filled and just kind of go somewhere else in our minds. And I don't take anything. I rarely take aspirin. I take vitamins. But it's easy to drift. God's will is that we would, again, in one of our early notes on our thought process of this, is we know that there are things that distract us. He says, be anxious for nothing. You know, and we'll read through that a little bit further in a minute. But this idea of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, sanctification, and having a thankful heart, those are four key things that are the will of God. Just mentioned, there are others, but this is, I just want to give you a sampling of this to think through. God's got a will. God's got an intent. You and I can respond to that. What does that look like? And am I being distracted from these things? What are the distractions from God's best for you? That's something you have to think about and you and I have to answer. What are some of the distractions that impact you as an individual from God's will and intent for your life? And I know we've got to work. I understand. But you know, and I know that we can get up, you know, 10, 15 minutes early. Man, think of how early we get up to go fishing or hunting. You know, some of us guys. I have watched gals for years who, and especially now, because you can see it on Facebook, you know, people I'm friends with Facebook, and they're out Black Friday, they're out, you know, at pre-dawn hours, you know, pounding down, you know, getting bulldozed over at Target and stuff, you know, because we want to do that. Well, I think that's the idea. If we look at our reading, if we look at our time with God, as we get to's, not we have to's, but we get the opportunity to spend time with God. Now, many of us might not want to sit down. Many of you might want to sit down with the current president of the United States. But there's a lot of people that are iconic people that you might think, man, I'd like to sit down and talk to that person. You might think that. Think of this. The creator of all the universe is asking you, pleading with you to interact with him. Pray without ceasing. What distracts you and I from prayer? Man, there is a myriad of things for me. We've got to, this is for Jim. Jim knows exactly what I'm talking about. You've got to eliminate the variance. There's a lot of variables that start happening. And in order to be productive, sometimes we have to eliminate those variances that get in the way, that distract us from the goal and the objective. The goal and the objective is these four things are yours and mine. So let's talk about this a little bit further, kind of move through this so that we can think through these distractions. So on our headline, you know, on our new dry erase board, distractions, you know, we want to mitigate, eliminate those, minimize those. And it's going to take some intentional effort on your part and my part. I have to take some energy and it's an effort to do that. In Luke chapter 8, let's go to Luke for just a moment. We'll camp there for a minute. Luke chapter 8 kind of addresses some of this in some very unique and specific ways. And it kind of shows the importance of this. Again, some of you have traveled with us through the Bible. You're going to be familiar because we've talked about some of these things, but this is in the context of a specific thought. In Luke 8:18, it says, Jesus speaking here, and we're going to go back to the idea that is the, wherever it says therefore, you got to know what is it there for, right? So, right, when you study and reading the word, when you come across the therefore, you got, what's it there for? And so it says, therefore, in verse 18, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. That diminishing of things. It will diminish. It's because they think they have it, but they really don't get it. They're not really embracing it. It says, take heed how you hear. This is all in the context. If you go back a page, at least in my Bible, back a page, it talks about the parable of the sower. It talks about the word of God being thrown out, cast out to each one of us. The seed of God's word is being thrown out. And as the seed of God's word is being thrown out, he goes through these different ways of what happens. The word of God is what helps us to be healthy and provides us guidance and direction and keeps us from becoming so distracted. The enemy wants to distract you and I from doing what I suggested, reading those Psalms and reading that proverb, thinking through those things, praying and seeking God. He wants to rip us off for doing that. Because there's an end result to that. Something happens if that word, if I take heed how I hear, how I'm digesting, when I'm taking in the word, whether I'm reading it silently or out loud, as I'm taking it in, whether I'm listening to Bible studies or whether I'm just studying through God's word independently, whatever, as I take that in, as I'm sitting in the gathering like this, as I'm taking in the word, I'm to take heed how I hear. It can be fruitful and productive in your life, or it can just be nominal. If you read through these, we'll read through them quickly. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, Jesus said. Verse 12, those in chapter 8 of Luke's gospel, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, they hear the word, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, immediately get ripped off. I heard the message, the gospel message, I kind of thought about it a little bit, and then just kind of blew it off. Satan ripped them off for it. They never really responded to that message. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word of God with joy. They take it in, and these have no root. In other words, there's just very little thin amount of soil on this kind of rock. Have you ever seen, when you've been out walking or hiking or out in the woods, you see a rock, and then you see kind of some dirt that's kind of gotten in, you know, this area, and then you see something springs up, but boy, it doesn't take much sunlight or some heat, and it just burns it, and it dies out quick. Because there's nothing for it to gain the nutrients that it needs. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. They just get ripped off again by the enemy. Taking heed how we hear. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are... And this is... We read this kind of, and we compartmentalize it. Oh, those are those people. Oh, this is that group of people. Oh, this is this. And we obviously want to be in the fourth group. I understand. I want to too. But the thing is, I can see myself almost every day in this. I can see me experiencing each of those four things. Sometimes I hear something and it takes really good root in my life and it's fruitful and productive. Other times I hear something, I kind of blow it off, you know, from the Lord. So it can be applicable, is my point, in any given day for any one of us, any of these four. So we have to what? Take heed how. I love that. Not what, not just what you hear, but how you hear. What is an important thing too? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But how do I hear? And he says here, the ones that fell among the thorns, that kind of a patch of thorns, the seed went out. When they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures, and bring forth no fruit. And this is the deceitfulness, you know. Some translations say the distracted cares of this world, those things that would distract us. the cares of this world. It says here pleasures of life or any of those things, but the care with cares, are choked with cares. Again, it's these things that would distract from God's intent or God's will for your life and my life. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it. It goes into the soil of their hearts and minds and beings and bear fruit with patience. That over time, there is fruit. So you can see here that the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, and the cares of this world, those things are things that distract us as the word goes out. And they distract the word. We get distracted and the word isn't really fruitful in your life or fruitful in my life as God wants it to be. So, what are some of the distractions from God's best for you? His word goes out. God only wants to import good things into your life. Philippians, this morning, Philippians was our place that we kind of launched our thoughts from on this. And again, these aren't really, I'm an adherent, just like you would be an adherent to this. This is stuff that I believe God put on my heart, but it's stuff that's right here in front of us in black and white on the pages of your Bible that speak to us. In verse 6, he goes through this and he says, be anxious for nothing. Again, what are those distracting cares? Let nothing distract you from God's purpose and plan. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So, one, we want to be taking on God's word like we just talked about. It's important to be reading God's word. If there is a couple of things that we could start out our new year thinking about and knowing that are so important is reading God's word and praying. Reading God's word and praying. Read the Bible and pray. Talk to God. Nothing will bear any... That is the single thing that will bear the most fruit in your life, and it is the two things that you are most easily distracted from. When you sit down and you get serious about praying, I guarantee you, your texts, your phone will start going off, texts will start coming through. You shut her down and go spend time with God. That's what's good about the early morning hours, right? Less distraction in the wee hours of the day. But once you get started, man, there's so much going on in there. It's hard to pull back once you get into it. A lot starts happening. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. It doesn't say in some things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. We have needs. We have concerns. We have things we're thinking about. When it says the word prayer and everything by prayer, when it just says prayer, why does he say prayer and supplication? Well, prayer is kind of general. Supplication is much more specific. Lord, I pray for your help with this and this and this. And then you can get more specific. I specifically need this help with this, or I desire this to happen for this reason, whatever it might be, right? So you can kind of see how this would lay out. Then finally, and or before we get into finally, he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The benefit to you, the benefit to me, is that we'll be at peace. And this is something we're constantly being violated for. The enemy is always trying to violate us for our peace. When we're restless, when we're not at peace, we have a tendency to make more hasty decisions. Hasty decisions, I found, are not usually the wisest of my decisions. I try not to make real hasty decisions because they don't go well usually for me. And I don't probably think for too many people. Step back. Anytime you get a chance, anytime I get a chance, I try and tell people, oh, especially if it's a serious matter, I try and ask people, would you allow me to just have a day on that? I like to, and it sounds funny maybe to some of you, but I like to actually sleep on something. I like to go to sleep, and because I don't know. I don't know, think it's just because I've gotten a little older. It might be, but I find I wake up, and sometimes there's just a different perspective. I don't know what that all is all about, but sometimes I wake up and there's just a little different insight to it or a different perspective on it or I don't know what, but it changes it a little bit and I want to make sure that I've slept on it so that I'm seeing it, not in it's just in immediate. Now I understand for all of us, there are times where things happen and we just got to make our decisions And I get it. And we trust that God's going to help us, and we pray and we make our decision. But we want to let the peace of God help us. Finally, it says, brethren, whatever things are true. This is what will be helpful to you. There's eight things he gives us in this, that Paul gives us in verse 8. He gives us eight specific things that will help you, that will help me. They're marked out right here in your Bible. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are, he says, true. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue. If there is anything praiseworthy. What does he say? Meditate on these things. Or contemplate. Muse on. Actually. This is like where a cow chews, kind of swallows, regurgitates, you know, chews on it some more, swallows, regurgitates, chews on it some more, chewing on the cud. You've heard this. That's what this meditate is. It's not this get out into some distant, you know, Eastern mystical stuff. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking here about something that's very specific to on these things that are lovely, that are true, that are just, that are noble, things that are good report. Think of the things that fly around in our minds that we spend a lot of energy on that are of bad report. Bad juju stuff going on in our heads. We're thinking about stuff that we don't need to be thinking about. Sometimes I watch the news and I get so upset with what I'm watching. And I think, man, I can pray real quick about this, but I don't have any charge over any of this. And obviously, the people that should be doing something about what they're supposed to be doing something about don't have much charge over it either. But anyway, that's a whole nother story, isn't it? I won't start venting on that. But you get the idea. There's so much that we can, and I'm not saying unplug and just be an airhead. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is for us, as followers of Christ, as Christians, as people who want to be a part of a biblical community, these are core truths. We are so easily distracted in our culture, so much more by so many images that are flashing around us all the time. And God's asking us to be a word-driven people, not an image-driven people. God's asking us to be a word-driven people, not an image-driven people. It's counter-culture right now to do that, to live based on the word. And you think, well, that's, you know, it would have been easier in there. No. There were so many statues and images and things that they worshiped all the way through the Bible. You can read through that. It's all there. The things, he says, which you've received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. He just says, hey, follow these truths that he's put forth for us. Now, I want to give you another example out of Luke very quickly before we close out our thoughts today on this. I'll give you another quick example of someone who had this same trouble that you and I face often. And we'll find that it's a familiar struggle. In Luke 10, beginning in verse 38, now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, Martha, Mary's sister, these are all friends. Lazarus's brother and sister, these are all friends of Jesus. Somehow Jesus just liked to hang with them. I think that's pretty cool. Jesus would get in their area and he always would hang out with them. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. And notice, would you highlight for yourself, sat at Jesus' feet and what? Heard his word. She was listening to what Jesus would say. Duly noted. But Martha was, what does it say? But Martha was what?
Distracted.
But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, God's called us to serve. Absolutely. I think you're going to find great joy in engaging in serving the Lord. I think that should be one of our things that we should put on our dry erase board. Where am I serving? How am I involved? Where am I connected? What am I committed to? What, I think those things are important things to know and to be connected to. God works through that. But it is when we get distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, she comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times have you maybe said this under your breath? Well, especially when you're doing things and you think you're doing them for the Lord. Lord, do you not care that my sister or anyone else has left me to serve alone? I'm here doing this by myself. Therefore, tell her to help me. But Jesus said regarding Mary specifically, he answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I like the repeating of it twice. Some people repeat people's names three times if they really want to get their point across with certain people. But at least one time, I'll let you guys sort that out. But Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. The distractions, those things that she's distracted by what she's doing, she's obsessing about the wrong thing. You can be doing something that you think is right, but be obsessing about the wrong thing. It can be a good task. It can be an important task, but you and I can be obsessing about the wrong thing. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And then he says, and oh man, am I thankful for this in verse 42. But one thing is needed. Thank you, Jesus. It's not 15. This is for guys like me. This is for people like you. One thing, not 50 things, not 500 things, not 15, not two, one thing is needed. This is what's important. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. And what was that good part? She sat at his feet and heard his word. It doesn't mean she did nothing. It doesn't mean that she wasn't engaged in anything. It just means that her priorities were to be focused on the Lord. That was part of my notes to self. Sometimes while we're worshiping, I have to write notes and they end up on my hand. Sometimes it's very difficult because I'm really trying to remember them. Then I get distracted while I'm worshiping. So I really try and carry a pen and then I use my God-given notepad. On job sites, I'd always find a piece of wood, you know, so sometimes I'd be going to lumber yards to get the extra stuff I'd need. I'd have like a big piece of plywood or something that I've written all this stuff on with my carpenter pencil and I'm going in, I'm walking around like Fred Flintstone. But anyhow, meditate, contemplate, or to focus. What is it that you and I focus on? I've told you about my grandson always wanting to shoot me with his focus gun because he's concerned that I get distracted. And he's right, and he's very helpful in that way. And we shoot each other with focus guns because he has similar issues. But he's sick, so I guess it's much more acceptable. But anyway, the idea is the same. What is it that you focus your energy and efforts on? Because what you focus or what you feed, what you digest and what you feed is what's going to grow. Is it worry? Be anxious for nothing. Is it worry? If you keep feeding that, if you keep dropping money in that machine, it's just going to keep taking it. And it's going to grow inside of you. The anxiety, the worry, you're feeding it by contemplating, by thinking on it. If you, on the other side, because fear is connected to anxiety and anxious thoughts, right? Fear is connected to that. And if you keep feeding the fears of the what ifs, if you keep feeding that with all of your energy and your thoughts and or a vast majority of it, that's what's going to grow. If on the other side, the converse is true as well, right? If you feed the things of the Spirit, if you feed the things, you will be fruitful and productive. We don't have time this morning, but in the first Psalm, you will find this laid out for you very clearly, where it talks about how what we are spending our time contemplating. He talks about our meditating. You will be, those who contemplate the word are going to be like trees planted by the river, right? And they're going to spring forth and bear fruit. And so this is where we want to be. We want to be fruitful as we head into this new year. We want to be productive. We want to have a life that really matters and makes a difference. I'll read a little portion of that thought to you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, in other words, I don't spend all my time connected with or engaged in all of the things of just the world. But his delight is, we want to be focused like this, but his delight is, our delight should be in the law of the Lord or in God's word. And in his law or in his word, he meditates. And if you look at this, this is really cool. Meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This idea, blessed, if you want to have a happy new year, that's what blessed means. Blessed, that is happy. Oh, you're going to be the happiest person if you do this. That's what it's saying. That's where the fulfillment, that's where the happiness is. And that word meditate, right in the latter part or mid to latter part of verse 2, where it says meditate, it talks about, and I like this, it talks about ponders, you'll read it in your notes, by talking to himself. So, it's not about weirdly talking to yourself. It's about talking out loud or praying out loud. Reading God's word out loud, you will find is very beneficial. As we start our new year, we can start reading through the Proverbs. We can start reading through the Psalms. Not because we have to, but because we get to. And take the time to go through that and see if you don't radically profit from that personally. That spiritually you don't really benefit from that over this next month. You got 2 days to ponder. Talk it out with yourself. Haggle it out. Get your pros and cons. We live in a world that is jam-packed. And I'm preaching to the choir on this one. We are jam-packed with distractions. Jam-packed with distractions. So many things vying for your attention and for my attention. But did you notice something that Jesus talked when he spoke with Martha and Mary? I want to point this out in our closing thought. Mary has chosen. Did you hear that? Mary has chosen the better part. That means that you and I can be intentional about what we choose to prioritize in our daily life, that we might be able to become more fruitful in the Lord, that we might enjoy more of His presence, minimize the distractions, increase spiritual productivity. What a great truth to think through, to meditate, to regurgitate, to ponder, to speak out loud. Lord, I want to mitigate those things that are distracting. They're always going to be there. I've never found them not to be there. They're always plaguing you and me. What is it that is distracting you from God's best, His will for your life? It's going to take some intentional contemplation and some intentional action on your part and my part. But we want to be fruitful. We want to be productive. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Ask that, Lord, as we're thinking through this, the most important choice that we make is to choose you. And so, Lord, for those who are here this morning who are listening and thinking through this and saying, man, you know what? I'm hearing this, I'm getting it in general, but I need to even just put Jesus first in my life, period. And it's an opportunity just between you and the Lord to pray a simple prayer of faith where you ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life. It's a simple prayer, and it's a prayer of faith where you invite Jesus. You acknowledge that you need help, you need him, and then you ask him, Jesus, would you be my personal Lord and Savior? And just ask him openly, and just say, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? I need a Savior, and I ask that you would be my personal Lord and Savior. Invite him into the recesses of your being. Open the door of your heart, and he will come in and make your heart his home. Simple prayer, asking Jesus, Jesus, would you come into my life? I want to allow you to be the priority in my life as I head into this new year. Many of us would say that. Most of us would say that. Not just for the first time, but would just say, gosh, Lord, I want that. Jesus, we do invite you into our hearts, into our lives, and we want you to have the rightful place in our hearts and lives. Lord, we admit there are many things in 2018 that distracted us from your best. But Lord, as we look forward, we want to ask that you would help us in 2019 to allow your word to penetrate into our being, to pray, to be thankful, to seek you, and to allow you to be the Lord of our life, that we bear fruit to your glory. And we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to eliminate, mitigate those distracting things that rob us of the best that you have for us. We ask that Satan would be bound from our hearts and minds. Help us to take heed how we hear your word. We ask that in Jesus' name.